Thank you. Good morning, all. My name is Chris Rakowski. I am the member of the Board of Counselors who has the happy task of hosting this member outreach call, spiritual outreach call, each month. If you and we, of course, as members of the American Association, are pleased to welcome members of the Federal and the Western Association as well to this call. If you are a frequent participant in these calls, you'll know that we have had a stellar list of presenters that come before us each month. And today's speaker, Monsignor Jamie Gigantiello, takes second place.
That's close. That's good.
Thank you. Thank you. Monsignor Jamie, as you would imagine, has quite a diverse background and quite a list of accomplishments. Just to give you a little introduction here, prior to studying for the priesthood, Monsignor Jamie received his business degree from Baruch College and also graduated from the Culinary Institute of America, the CIA for chefs.
Yes.
For 10 years, he worked in the New York hotel industry in various managerial positions before entering the seminary in Huntington at the Immaculate Conception. He's had a number of assignments since his ordination in 1995 and currently serves as a pastor of the Shrine Church of Our Lady of Mount Carmel and Annunciation in Brooklyn. Monsignor is also a deputy chaplain for the New York City area. I'd like to note a couple of things from his CV that I think would be of interest to our group. One, following 9/11, the attacks on New York in 2001, the New York City Police Department made him an honorary chaplain in recognition of his work at Ground Zero, and he continues to receive numerous awards for his outstanding community leadership. Recently, he assisted in coordinating the arrival and departure ceremonies for our Holy Father at Kennedy Airport during the Pope's visit to New York City. He, again, as I mentioned, he serves as a deputy chaplain from the North New York City area for the Order of Malta. And here, as we begin the month of the Holy Rosary, Monsignor will talk to us about the power of the Rosary. So with that, I'll turn it over to Monsignor Jamie. Take it away, sir.
Thank you so much. It's an honor for me to be here today and to speak with you. And I have to say, the Rosary is powerful. I mean, it has gotten me through many difficult moments in my life. And because of that, I was able to recommend that people who were struggling in life with different issues and different stages in their life and overcoming some difficult moments, how important the Rosary has been to them. And I have to say that it truly is a gift for me to be able to use the Rosary and as a tool to remind myself and remind others that we are never alone. And the Rosary comes into play many times during the day. I know for myself, I say the Rosary every night before I go to bed. And when I fall asleep, I pick it up whenever I wake up. And in the morning, if I don't finish, I finish the Rosary. And, the Rosary has always been a way of connecting ourselves with the Lord, connecting ourselves with the joyful moments of the Lord, connecting ourselves with the sufferings of the Lord, and being reminded that no matter what happens to us in our lives, whatever struggles we may have, the Lord always comes through. I would say that the power of the Rosary is there to, first of all, maybe bring us some peace at moments in our lives. We live such hectic lives, and the world is crazy, and sometimes, we question what's going on around us. It's unsettling. Sometimes we get caught up in the workings of the world, and we make, perhaps wrong decisions, and we may be confused. And the Rosary is there to kind of like settle us, to help us to reflect and to settle and to bring us some peace. Because first of all, it gives us that moment to escape from the world, and we reflect with our souls and our hearts on some of our own actions. And we pray that the Rosary, brings us some peace. It also gives us a moment to, as I said, to break away and to kind of put out all those distractions that we have in our lives that, we think about, that we worry about, It's a way for us to step aside from, you know, the busyness of our lives, the craziness of our lives, the hecticness of our lives, and to, even if it's for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, to say the rosary, it kind of acts as like a mini retreat at different times of the day when we're able to reflect and really be encouraged to go to move forward. Also, it gives us a time to look at the life of Mary and to reflect on her life, to see how Mary was able to cope. And, you know, she pondered everything in her heart when, you know, during her sufferings, during her decision-making times, during her, I would say, distractions that she may have had, and at times she was able to move forward. She was able to, just in her own very humble and respectful way, never getting excited, just pondering everything in her heart, we can reflect on her and try to imitate her and not always look to react to situations. And she is truly a role model for all of us. And there's no one that suffered more than Mary. There's no one that had to make decisions, you know, to accept the will of God in her life, even though she knew what embarrassment and shame and how difficult it would be for her. So, you know, it gives us a time to reflect on Mary. It also gives us a time to reflect on some of the most important moments in the history of our church. You know, we reflect, you know, on, you know, the Annunciation, Mary's moment of saying yes. And, you know, think about that. If she would have said no, what would have happened? And many times in our own lives, we're called to say yes. And we think of, you know, what happens when we do say yes. The number of people that are impacted by our saying yes to the Lord, the number of people that we help, that we serve. And, you know, if Mary would have said no, what, where would we be today? And then also, if we say no, you know, I sometimes reflect on my own life and I say, if I would have said no to my vocation, what that would have meant for me and all the people that I have served over the years. It has not always been easy. But it's a time for us to reflect on our own vocation in life and what we're called to do and what we're called to go. It's also time for us to, as I said earlier, it's kind of like a mini retreat. It kind of gives us a moment to slow down and to be encouraged when we get discouraged. You think of Mary and, you know, how she experienced so much suffering, but yet she always went on. There are times when I, as a priest, may want to throw up my arms and say, why? Why am I doing this? Why am I subjecting myself to so much, you know, ridicule at times and, you know, pressure that people put on you and, you know, what's all going on in the church with the sexual abuse scandal and, you know, how you're constantly defending it and, you know, trying to make peace with it. And trying to let people know that, you know, the church is doing as much as it can to make peace with victims and to really, you know, punish those people that have been, you know, credibly accused of something. And, you know, it's a very difficult time. And the rosary gives us that encouragement that no matter how bad things get, there are always, there's always, the Lord is present. And we know that in our darkest moments, we're present with the Lord, and the Lord is most present with us. I would say also, when we come together as a church to pray together, we come together as a community, it's very powerful when you have a whole community, a whole group praying together the rosary. Because, first of all, we're all acknowledging our belief in our God, in Mary, in Jesus, but it's also a time to see that other people are experiencing suffering in their own lives as well. and that, you know, we're all in one way or another in the same boat, like the apostles. And there are storms that may arise. But when we, you know, turn to the Lord, when we believe in the Lord, when we put our trust in the Lord gets us through. And I would say that praying together as a church, as a community, the rosary is very, very powerful. And it really, you know, brings strength and hope to people's lives. It gives us a time to reflect. You know, the rosary gives us a time to reflect on the sufferings of Jesus, the sufferings of Mary. And it makes us reflect on the sufferings of the world, the sufferings in our own lives, the sufferings of people around us, our community, our world. And we pray that we can make a difference, that we can bring some consolation and hope and mercy and forgiveness to those around us by praying the rosary together. The rosary is also, you know, something that we do as an outward sign. You know, we have the rosary beads that we hold them in our hands. We can feel them. We can touch them. It's a tangible prayer that we can say, and that we use all of our senses. You know, we use the sense of touch when we count the beads on the rosary. We use the sense of you know, hearing when we cite the prayers and the Hail Marys and the Glory Bees and the Our Fathers. We're using all of our senses, and you know, in our church we use all of our senses. You know, in church we use the sense of smell when we burn incense, and we offer our prayers up to God. We use water and fire to help us to realize that our faith is alive. It's tangible. It's touchable. It's something that we can relate to. And saying the rosary, reciting the rosary helps us to do that as well. It's also a time for us to be able to praise God through prayer, in an outward sign of saying prayers and coming together as a community to verbalize, you know, our feelings, our beliefs. The rosary is powerful in so many ways, in so many different aspects of our lives. And it's also a time for us to maybe to imagine what the world could become and what the world could be like if more people reflected on the rosary, on the life of Christ, his teachings, his word, the holiness of Mary, her humility. And if we become more like Jesus and Mary in our lives, the world would be a different place. And the rosary enables us to reflect on that. It's not always easy in our world in which we live, when so much evil is going on. The world in which we live, where God is being taken out of the world, and more people are living their lives without God. We live in a very self-centered world where people are making gods out of themselves and on things that make them happy and give them pleasure. And it's not the kind of world that, you know, God wants of us. He wants us to live in a very loving and sacrificial way, to give of ourselves the best that we can, and the rosary enables us to do that. The rosary is powerful because it's there for us all the time. In those moments of crisis in our lives, in the moments of sickness, and in the moments when we experience, you know, doubt, we grab onto the rosary. And even when we're not reciting it, it's there. You know, I carry my rosary in my pocket, and sometimes I just, you know, put my hand around it and I grab it, and it gives me that strength because it's kind of like my whole faith is wrapped up in that rosary, or everything we believe in is wrapped up in the rosary. and that, you know, the rosary is there, you know, to help us and to give us what we need at that moment. It's like receiving the Eucharist and that moment that we receive the Eucharist and feel the presence of God in our bodies. We grab onto the rosary as a tool to remind us that God is with us. It's something that if more people carried around with them, maybe they would have that strength at that moment in crisis and not turn to other things and throw their hands up in the air in any way. But it is, you know, very powerful. It's been very powerful to me in my life, and I try to pass that on as much as I can to others as well. The rosary, you know, as we, you know, when we celebrate the different aspects of the rosary, you know, the joyful mysteries, you know, when we celebrate the Annunciation, you know, we reflect on, you know, Mary saying yes, God coming to us, God coming into the world. We reflect on the Visitation, you know, where we're called to bring Christ like Mary to other people. We're called to reflect on, you know, that God chose to become one like us. He did not have to do that. And that even God, even Jesus, presented himself to the world. And that he had to present himself to the church. And where was Jesus found at a very early age? He was found in the church. And praying. And so reminded to us that, you know, in the busyness of our own lives, we have to spend time and make time to be in church, to be in prayer, to say our prayers, to recite the rosary. That's all part of what we're called to do as, you know, Christians. It's all part of what we're called to do as followers of Christ. You know, and then, you know, we reflect on the sorrowful mysteries. You know, we reflect on the sufferings of Christ, that even Christ suffered. And when suffering comes into our own lives and we ask, why? Where is God? You know, all these things have, you know, come to play in our mind, that if God could suffer and chose to suffer, he didn't have to suffer, that we too are called to suffer, and what we do with that suffering, how we offer it up, how, you know, Jesus, even at this scourging of the pillow, you know, how he accepted that, those, you know, that suffering, the crown of thorns, the carrying of the cross. You know, crucifixion is a very evil and, you know, hard way to die. It was very painful. And then to ultimately surrender himself to God and saying, God, it is your will. Let your will be done. It's, you know, time for us to reflect on our own suffering and how we're called to carry our own crosses in life. And then after that, you know, why do we do it? Because we know that the resurrection is right around the corner. You know, our Good Fridays pass by because we believe in the resurrection. We believe in Easter Sunday. And that we will all rise with God. We will all rise with Christ, you know, after our sufferings and death in this world, and that we too will ascend into heaven. You know, this is the promise that Jesus came and to help us until we get there. I mean, he sent us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to help us, to guide us with temples of the Holy Spirit, and that, you know, the Spirit lives within each and every one of us because of our baptism and confirmation. The Spirit of God is always, always with us. And then we know that in the end, we will, like Mary was assumed into heaven, we will be assumed into heaven. And we will have our glory in heaven like Mary if we continue on those footsteps of Christ. And all of that is summed up, you know, in the rosary. And then, of course, you know, we reflect on the different events in Jesus's life. You know, we reflect on, you know, the baptism of the Lord, that, you know, we reflect on our own baptism. We reflect on the wedding of Cana, and reflect on, you know, how Jesus made himself present at that couple's wedding, to and where he performed his first miracle, to let people know that he's always with them, he's always with us, and how sacred the sacrament of marriage is. And you know, God taught us all of that in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, when, you know, teaching us about the kingdom of God, and that if we follow him, and, you know, we too can, you know, join him and spend eternal life with him. And you know, God gives us glimpses in life, different moments when we experience the presence of God, you know, where you know, we may be at an event or a party or a spiritual celebration, and everyone is one. You know, everyone's praying together. Everyone is at peace with one another. And those are glimpses of the kingdom that Jesus gave to the disciples, and he still gives to us today. And, you know, most of all, he left us the Eucharist. The Eucharist is something that is very real in our lives. You know, when you go into different churches and you go into different faiths, you walk into a hall, you walk into a room, there's something missing. But when you walk into a Catholic church and you have the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, you feel the presence of God. And, you know, Jesus, you know, instituted the Eucharist so that we would always have a lasting memorial of him. And just as the Eucharist, you know, is an opportunity for us to experience God every day in our lives, the rosary is a tool also for us to experience Christ in our lives every day, to reflect not only on his joyful moments, but on his suffering, on the sufferings of Mary, and on all of those events that took place in Mary's life, in Jesus's life, take place in our own lives. It's what we do with them and how we accept them, how we imitate the life of Christ, how we imitate the life of Mary. That's how we're united to Christ. That's how we're united to God himself. And the rosary is something that has been around for centuries. You know, it was, you know, inspired by God. It, our Blessed Mother appeared to Saint Dominic, and it was a way of us to, you know that God is present in our lives. And, you know, just as the Blessed Mother appeared to Saint Dominic, the Blessed Mother comes to us in the Rosary. Jesus comes to us in the Eucharist, and he comes to us in the Rosary. And this is something that, you know, is a gift. It's a gift of the Church, and it's something that we all reflect on, especially during the month of October. October 7th is when we celebrate the gift of the Holy Rosary, and it's a time for us also to pass on a tradition of the Church that goes back, you know, to the 12th century. It goes back to a time when, you know, faith was struggling. And today faith is struggling. You know, religion is struggling. And the Rosary is a time for us to reflect on that. And it's a means by which we can pass on our faith through tradition. You know, today, young people, they want tangible things. They want to touch things. They want to feel things. The Rosary is a way that young people, children, if we teach them at an early age, a form of prayer, a form, a way that they could reflect on our faith by using, as I said earlier, their senses, their touch, their sense of touch, their sense of speech, by using the Rosary as a form of prayer. So I know the Rosary is a gift for me, and I sometimes wonder what my life would be like without the Rosary. it would be a little empty. Yeah, I have other ways of praying. I pray in different ways. I celebrate the Eucharist every day, and it's a blessing. But when I'm walking the streets and I'm driving in my car and I, you know, sleeping at night in my bed and I can't sleep because I'm worrying about all the responsibilities I have, the rosary is there. And it truly is a gift. I pray that more people would come to have a greater respect and understanding of the rosary. I pray that the rosary continue to be used as a form of prayer in many different ways. It's used to many times just to pray publicly as a way for people to see that in a very peaceful way we can bring the presence of God into our world and into our lives. I pray for the church. I pray for the church today that just as Mary suffered and Jesus suffered through the mysteries of the rosary, we too, through the mystery of our sufferings, everyday sufferings, we will use our faith and the strength that we receive from God in our faith to get through the many difficult moments in our own lives. So let us end with a wonderful prayer that we say every time we recite the rosary. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Tend then, most gracious advocate, thy eyes of mercy toward us. And after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be worthy of the promises of Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Monsignor Jamie. You know, like a good homilist, breaking open the scripture to
God bless you all.
All right. So, thank you.
Thank you so much, and continue the good work.
Very good.
Praise God.
Now, if I could just say one word here before we close, I'd like to remind the group that our next call is scheduled for the 6th of November, again at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Our speaker will be Monsignor Frank Caldwell, who will talk to us about a very interesting topic. Where did the concept of patron saints come from? So look forward to having each of you on that call again next month. And if you have friends or family who are unable to make this particular call, please remind them that these calls are recorded and kept on the American Association website for their use at a later point. So again, thank you, Monsignor Jamie. Thanks to all who attended, and look forward to being with you again next month. Have a great day.
God bless you all.